Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Word Journey, the platform where we gather to learn how to go about our life pursuit based on the Word of God. If this is your first time joining us on Word Journey, our approach on Word Journey is that we take a topical issue every week, search the scripture to understand the mind of God that we may adapt our lives accordingly. Today is the last episode of Word Journey for the month of July 2023, and we have been on the subject matter of the power or the nature of God, looking at different things God could do: God the kingmaker, God the defender from strong enemies, God the healer of all diseases, God the lifter of men. And today we are looking at a very important aspect of the power of God, and that is the subject matter of God being the God of impossibilities. In the previous episode, I explained that if we want to look at the power of God, it will take a whole year to study, because God is powerful in many ways. His power finds expression in all kinds of places. But we just want to take a look at some of these things. And then, because we want to bring this subject matter to wrap this month, we just have to take a general subject matter, looking at God being God of impossibilities. It's my hope that in the course of the conversation, we'll touch on some areas of impossibilities and how God expressed himself in those areas. If this is your first time joining us on Word Journey, please note that you can access previous episodes. That is, over 30 episodes of Word Journey are available for your free download when you visit Venerable Obonna's website. That is ihaniobonna.com. You can equally stream every single previous episode on your favorite podcast platforms such as Spotify, Anchor FM, Google Podcasts, and the rest of them. When you get any of those, your favorite podcast platform, just search for Ven Ihani Obonna or Word Journey, and you'll be able to see it and then stream them. I will introduce my guest after this time, and please stay tuned. My name is Ifani Chukwu Dinwoke.
Our faith in Christ did not just reconcile us to God, it ushered us into the Christ kingdom, where the Bible viewpoint is supreme. A genuine member of the kingdom is the one whose lifestyle is guided by Bible principles. On Word Journey, we search the scriptures to learn the mind of God so that we may conform our lifestyle to it. Welcome to Word Journey. I am your brother in Christ, Venerable Ihani Chukwu Obonna.
Welcome back to Word Journey. As you're on Word Journey, I'm joined by Venerable Ihani Chukwu Obonna, who is a servant of God that believes that as Christ is elevated, lives are liberated, and he is committed to teaching the sound word of God across every platform that God gives him, with the hope that God will use his teaching to transform the lives of men. Venerable, thank you very much for joining me on the 31st episode of Word Journey.
Thank you for having me. May the name of the Lord be praised.
Thinking about our 31st episode, something that just occurred to me is this. You know, you can download all the odd episodes of Word Journey and use it for devotional for 30 days. Like all the previous episodes, download it and be taking one episode every day. For 30 days, you have sound discussion of the Word of God, different subjects matter about prayer, love, persecution, serving God, money, productivity, and all that. So you can download it. You can even share them to your friend as a gift. And very importantly, you can actually give it to that young Christian who you want to be well-groomed. The reason is that on Word Journey, it's not just teaching. We do a basic understanding about a subject matter, and we delve into practical discussions that help every young believer understand how to go about any of those issues. So please, I implore you to please download these materials, put them together, and share to someone as a gift. And please, if you like, you can even burn it into a CD and distribute. I don't think Venerable Obonna cares. Including if you want to sell it for your CD, it's not, just find a way to get this message across and share to as many people as want to get it. The most important thing is that we want the Word of God to fill this earth as water covers the sea. And you can be sure, if you bother to join us in this assignment by just sharing the materials with other people, God is not unjust to forget your labor of love. Now, getting into our discussion for today, we are looking at God of impossibilities. And what I want to look at this is that the question on my mind thinking about this subject matter is God really God of impossibilities, or we are just ascribing to him God of impossibilities? When something is really impossible, how can we be saying God is God of impossibilities? So, Venerable, let's start like this. Is God really God of impossibilities, or we are just explaining things wrongly?
The simple answer to your question, is God really the God of impossibilities, is yes. From Genesis to Revelation, evidences abound that our God is a God of impossibilities. Why do I say this? When we refer to God as God of impossibilities, we are talking about one that has limitless power, who has never and will never meet any intimidating obstacle he cannot overcome. When we talk about God as a God of all impossibilities, no matter how aggressive an enemy is, God will always overcome. All decisions that has been finalized, he has power to override them. No matter how powerful a person is, he cannot overshadow God. You know, while our Lord Jesus Christ was on earth, he made a sentence from Matthew chapter 19 verse 26. He said, "But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." That goes to say that our God is a God of all impossibilities. He makes impossibility possible.
While you are giving your answer, you said something that struck me. You said that God can override decisions.
Yes.
And there's no circumstance that comes that he cannot turn around or that he bows to. Now, okay. Are you saying that human beings, that if people come together and say, well, we're going to deal with this fellow, deal with this community, deal with this tribe, and they actually have power to execute those plots? I'm not talking about people who are just doing wishful thinking. People are plotting and they have power to execute. Are you saying that when they make decisions on what they want to do and how they're going to do, and God can override that decision?
Yes. In his own ways, he has done it. That's why I said, if we begin to look from Genesis to Revelation again, to see how God, over time, has changed the evil plans of men in favor of his children. He may not outrightly come forth to do it, but at the end, you will understand that the hand of God is there. If you take a simple instance, as wicked as Haman was, he took a decision. He has the power to execute that decision. But God, who has the final say, did override that decision in favor of the children of Israelites, in favor of Mordecai. Mordecai was supposed to be hanged in the morning, but in the night, God, who has power to override the decision of men, did his own thing, his own way. And Mordecai remained alive to take over the position of Haman. That's a typical example. One out of the millions in the scripture.
Does God still do things like that today, in the sense of overriding, say, a decision of federal executive council to say, we are going to do this or not do this for a village, for a town or community in Nigeria?
Yes. But it takes understanding to know. It takes the spirit-filled man to know and understand. As powerful as the President of the United States of America, that is being regarded as the most powerful nation in the world, God overrides their decision in his own way. So there is no government on planet Earth that God has no power to override their decision. So long as it goes against the will of God, that's something we have to take away. Whatever, God will not just come down to override decision. If it is not in line with his will, that which is the will of God must surely come to pass. And remember, the scripture says that the hearts of the kings are in his palms,
And he turns it around like rivers of water, which means he has power to say what you want to do. This is what you will do. You want to do A and God wants you to do B. God will override your A and turn you to do B. You work to execute the will of God on planet Earth. Remember Cyprus, who was a wicked king, has nothing to do with believers in those days. But he was the man God used to ask the children of Israel to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild Jerusalem.
Does God interfere in a matter like this, for example, just on his own, willingly, or there are things people do to get him to actually intervene in their situation, especially regarding overriding decisions made about a person, community, or a situation?
No, he, as God, may decide to do it on his own. But as children of God, our prayers and relationship with God makes it also possible for us to be part of making God to act. In prayers, when something is going wrong and children of God will gather to pray, God answers their prayer and intervenes. Come over to our Macedonia and help us. You can invite the power of God, invoke the power of God to a particular situation, and God comes down, seeing you are praying in line with his will, will change the situation of event. Daniel noticed that the prophecy of 70 years has elapsed. He went to God in prayer, reminding God of the situation in Jerusalem. God answered. So we also can be part of what God is doing through prayers.
Okay, we're still looking at the God of impossibility. So this is what I want to understand. Apart from the example you gave, the examples you have cited, I want you to sit down for a while to talk about cases where this God of impossibility turned the situations around. I'm asking because I actually want to know the limits of his power. I want to see maybe people turn around he has cursed. I want to see whether I can count on him. I want to see whether he can turn around. Maybe he has turned around some situation, but can he turn around that kind of situation I find myself now, or I'll find myself in? So let's talk about a bit about the cases. Apart from the examples you give me, or even throw more light on the examples you give me, I want to know God of impossibility in action.
Okay, let's get the one that will startle you now is that no people have not sat down to look at this as act of God being the God of all impossibilities. In the Garden of Eden, to Satan, the devil, the enemy, God showed his power to override the decision of the devil deceiving Adam and Eve. You know, it was in the same point of the fall of man that God made the decision to show his awesomeness and power by providing the Savior. It's in Genesis where he says that the serpent will bruise the head, the heel of the son of Eve. Why the son will bruise the head? You know, at that particular point, God was talking about the salvation of man. That's in Genesis. Now, if we begin to talk of God of all impossibilities, in a situation like that of Abraham, a man that was 100 years, a wife of about 90 years, having a child, is it not the act of an impossible? Is with man, at that material time, it's impossible. But with God, it became possible. Sarah laughed, showing how can this be? But God of all impossibilities made it possible that in a year's time, Isaac was born. In the sacrifice of Isaac, again, God made something possible. He provided a lamb from nowhere to replace the sacrifice of Adam. Is an impossible situation made possible? Now, if we go from one step to the other, you notice again in Exodus chapter 8, between 18 and 19, in the presence of Pharaoh, Moses demonstrated the power of God. Lies or Gath the plague, when the magicians of Egypt saw it, do you know what they said? They said, this is the finger of God. This is an act of impossibility made possible by only God. That is only God that has the power to do this. And they say, this is the finger of God. When you look at Daniel in the lion's den, remember, we cannot say all, but Daniel in the lion's den on planet Earth, no man will walk into a den of hungry lions without being devoured. But the God of impossibilities made it possible that Daniel entered the lion's den and the lions were friendly. Another act of impossibility made possible. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God caused furnace of fire to be friendly, turning fire to a condition, building a wall, an edge around them, their fire went, even their clothes were not touched by fire. Now, there is one in the Bible which we'll just touch and maybe come back to. In Numbers chapter 22, verse 28 up to 30, Balaam and the donkey. God made it possible that a donkey opened his mouth and spoke to a prophet of God. Is it not something that is impossible that is made possible?
It is.
The resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ after 3 days from the grave is something again to demonstrate the limitless power of God. While Jesus was on planet Earth, the blind saw, the lame walk, lepers were healed. He healed and delivered all manner of diseases. And by what power was he doing this? By the power of God. The power of God is limitless. God cannot be limited. He demonstrates his power at any time, any place, as he deems fit.
Okay. You give a number of examples. I'm going to take some of them. Maybe we'll look at closer at them. But what I want to understand, how did these people do? Did they do anything that activated the power of God in their life? Because I imagine that there may be other people who entered the lions, they never made it out. There may be other people who are 95, they never conceived again, like Abraham did. And other examples you give. So, is there something they did that made God show his power of impossibility in their life? Or God just randomly distributed that power to people?
The scripture said that without faith, it is impossible to please God. The people that I've mentioned now all have implicit trust and faith in the power of God. When I say they have faith in the God they have believed and they have come to serve, they don't doubt that God can do anything. And for God, when you trust him, when you obey him and walk according to his will for your life, he goes all out to do things that will baffle the world on your behalf.
For a lot of people, the concern is, how do I even come to the point where I can trust God to that extent? Trusting God to this extent where he will feel like, okay, your faith is intact, I will do this for you. I'm asking because there are people that say, if a doctor, not even one doctor, multiple doctors, look at a particular case and say, this is the way this thing is, there is no hope. They will talk to him like God said, Ezekiel, prepare your house because you shall die and not live. If a group of expert doctors say that, how can I say trust God? How do I come to a point where I can trust God to do the impossibility in such a situation? So that's what somebody said. How do I get to the point where I can trust God? What do I do to trust God? How can a man who wants to experience the God of impossibility come to the position of absolute trust in God and the power and his power?
This comes not in a day. It's a process and taking you through a period of your relationship, communion, fellowship with God. You don't just start trusting someone
overnight. Relationship is built. You must have given your life to our Lord Jesus Christ, making him your Lord and personal Savior. You must be relating with him, communing with him, reading the word of God, dwelling richly, allowing the word of God to dwell richly in you, praying to God. He said, the fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. It's in relationship you know that your friend is so powerful that he can do and undo. It's in relationship that you come to understand the fact that you are serving a living God, an all-knowing, all-powerful God. You have a relationship with him. You know he's dealing with you all over. Look at what David said to King Saul. That the God he served delivered him from bear and the lion. And so this same God would deliver him from the uncircumcised Philistine, Goliath. So isn't that relationship? He has known God over time. And to look at Goliath now is nothing compared with what he has seen God do for him. The same way, we need to build our relationship with God. We need to study the word of God to know what God said about himself, and we believe it and put our trust and faith in the living word of God, thereby provoking God to act on our behalf when situation arises.
Okay, you say it's a gradual process, and I completely understand that. The other question, my other concern is that what are the activities? So that if, assuming it's going to take me 2 years to get to the point of having faith in God that attracts the power of God, God's power of impossibilities, what should I do to build up my faith? What should I do to build up my confidence in God to the level where I can trust God to actually move the heart of a king, even to upturn a decision made by kings? I can trust God to save me from the lion's den and all that. What are the activities I can do to help my faith build up?
No, you see, if we talk about activity now, it looks as if it's from what we do for God that makes it for him act on our behalf. Why that may not be absolutely true, the Bible recorded and said, faith cometh by hearing the word of God. Having been born again, having accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, studying the word of God and praying, the Bible said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. The only thing I want you or us to do is to always study the word of God. Believe what the Lord our God has said. The scriptures are there for us to study and learn and pray, trusting in God. That's the simple activity.
Trust in God, believe in him, and study the word. These are what he prescribed. Now, I have other questions about this subject, some of your responses, and then the other aspect of this discussion I want us to get into. But then we'll do that when we come back after this break, because it's break time already on Word Journey. And today we are looking at the God of Impossibility with my guest, Venerable Ihanye Chukwu Obuna. When we come back after this break, we'll get into other aspects of the discussion, like how do I activate the power of God in a situation? How do I get the faith that I experience the power of God? And why do people miss the power of God of Impossibility in their life, situations, and community? Please stay tuned.
Since the first episode of Word Journey debuted on 25th December 2022, God has helped the team release a new episode every week. By the strength and wisdom God provides, the Word Journey team has expanded your options for accessing every episode. So, in addition to downloading all the episodes on the website ihanyobona.com, you can equally stream all of them on any of your favorite podcast platforms, such as Anchor FM, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitchers, Amazon Music, and Radio Republic. In fact, the team has made extra efforts to bring you the Word of God daily through channels we call Word Alive in the morning and Bedtime Rema in the evening. Our desire is that you have daily infusion of the Word of God, even in the midst of your busy schedules. So, if you want to get our weekly Word Journey, Daily Word Alive, and Bedtime Rema, please send WJ to 0803-7620-939 on WhatsApp.
Welcome back. Yes, listen to Word Journey, where we learn how to go about our life pursuits based on the Word of God. Like I said before the break, for this episode, we are looking at God of impossibilities. And we have looked at who this God of impossibility is, whether God is actually God of impossibility. I looked at different cases where he manifested his power as being God of impossibility. Going forward, we want to look at our only activating power of impossibility. Of course, we talked about it briefly earlier, but we'll take some closer look at them, and then things like why we miss out on the God of impossibility and all that. So, venerable, let's get started with this. You have told me different things about the power of God, delivering people from lion's den, healing a sick person, giving an old man a child giving Abraham a child at old age. How come there are people who, even though God has power to do these things that are considered impossible, they still don't go to God to enjoy that miracle? They still don't go to God to ask him, or they don't have those miraculous power of God manifest in their life? Why?
Why people miss out from experiencing the power of God as a God of impossibilities is because of lack of faith in God. They do not trust God. They don't believe in him. They do not obey him. They are not patient with God. And so they miss out. These things must be combined. You must believe in God to be able to go to him in prayer. You must trust in him. You must obey his word. Above all, you must be patient with him. If you are not, you will miss out in these things or in experiencing his power, the impossibility of his nature. As a God of all impossibilities, there is nothing that is not possible with God. There are three things I know God cannot do. Very limited three things. God cannot lie. He cannot change. And also, he cannot allow sinners to go to heaven. These are the three things here. Every other thing is possible with God. But we miss out if we don't. There is a song that says, trust and obey. For there is no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey him. If you don't believe in him, you may believe in him, and then you don't obey him. Certain instructions he gives to make his possibility nature possible in your own area. You don't believe that. You don't obey. Then how? And you may believe in him, you obey him, but you are not patient with his timing. God's timing is different from our own timing. That is to say, our expectations must align with the will of God. Not trying to force the will of God to our expectation. It makes us miss out. You must believe that there is God in heaven, the creator of heaven and earth. And you must believe that he is an all-powerful God, not that he created and remains there. That he is an all-powerful God. He has power. An ability, capability, able to do all things according to his will. Underline it. According to his will, not according to our will. We must believe him. We must also go ahead and obey his instructions into achieving that which God wants to achieve. You must believe. And then, if you have done this, you must be patient with God.
His timing is not our own time. If you remember the story of Joseph, which we said, for how many years Joseph suffered in the hands of his brothers until the time he became the prime minister, fulfilling a dream he had as a small boy. You must also know that David stood for 17 years or 13 or 17 years or thereabout before he became king. After pronouncing and anointing him of king, he didn't usurp power. He waited. He was patient for God to work out his purpose. This is makes us mean that I'm not talking about the word sin now. A sinner that needs repentance. I'm not talking about when the devil stands on your way, like he did to Daniel for 21 days. God answered prayer, but the manifestation came after 21 days. But these are the basic things a Christian needs to do. Christians should believe that the God they serve is an all-powerful God. If you don't believe in him, you must trust in him. You must believe in him. You must have faith in him. You must be willing to obey all his instructions. And you must be patient with him to achieve that which he has proposed for you.
I have heard about people who say they believe God created the heaven and earth, but after creating the heaven and earth, he left it to work on its own. So he does not interfere with the affairs of men. He does not interfere with people's health. So he sets the structures up. Just like if I put a cyclical thing that this will happen, you get born, you fall sick, you get die, give birth, you know, that kind of thing. So he can't do anything. He doesn't do anything on the earth again. Do you believe that?
No. Absolutely wrong. God is in control of the affairs of men.
Even why did
he
today?
Today he says the house of the kings. Who are the kings? I am his arms. He turned it around like rivers of water. If he is not God and he does not interfere in the affairs of men, why did he interfere in the affairs of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? These three men told a king before him, looked at the face of a king and said, even if God, whom we serve, will not deliver us from your hand, we will not worship your God. This image you put on, did God interfere or did he not interfere? He caused the man to see the fourth man in the furnace. He has interfered in the affairs of men. Normally, a lion should eat a man. God interfered in the affairs of men, causing an animal to become friendly. Something like a lion become friendly. And the belly of a lion became a pillow to Daniel. He laid there till the next morning. If God do not interfere in the affairs of men, why should that be? He interfered in the affairs of men.
Okay, those who also believe this thing about the idea that God does not interfere in the affairs of men, that yes, he created the world and hands of it, they say things like God's design is that you get born, you get exposed to disease, and there is no way, it's incurable, you make your bed, you are going to die and all that. So they say, no, that's how God arranged life. You can't do anything about it. Does God interfere in disease process? Does he interfere in the health that is decaying, degenerating, and all that?
Yes. Remember in our last episode, or in one of the episodes, previous ones, we talked about the God that has power to heal all diseases. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He interferes in the affairs of men. Everything on planet Earth, disease, power, everything that God chooses to interfere. So long as a child of God is involved, God will interfere in that situation and save somebody. He may allow things bad to happen on planet Earth, has not taken away his power to interfere in the affairs of men. He heals all diseases. He said, I am the God that healeth thee. If he cannot heal, why will he answer that name? Jehovah Rapha is his name. You are a healer. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I heal all your diseases. With me, all things are possible. In terms of disease now, everything is possible. Call that disease, God heals all. There is no condition on planet Earth that God will not interfere. He intervenes for the sake of his children. I told you, Africans may not know that God intervened in their situation during the COVID era, where it was predicted, wisdom of men, that corpse will lie on the streets of Africa. Yet,
today, the number of Africans that died as a result of that season can never be equated with the number that died in the United States alone, the home of the best medical doctors in the world, suffered terribly. So, in our own case, in our own situation, here in Africa, God intervened. Whether we want to believe it or not, God never created the world and allowed it to run its course. He intervened. He is still in charge. He is still in control. That is why he says he raises one up and brings one down.
Yes.
That is God. The earth cannot exist or continue to exist if God is not upholding the earth, the planet earth. God is only upholding it, awaiting the fullness of time when he will say he will destroy.
Okay, I want to take a practical case of trusting God. Practical case of expressing the power of God's impossibility.
Yep.
There's a sister who had a diagnosis and told her that this disease is in your lineage, that is also in you. You've been diagnosed with a particular ailment, that you should prepare your family because you shall die and not live and all that. And this person has heard this word of God and is saying, okay, doctors say this one is impossible, that they can't do anything. What can that sister do to experience a God of impossibility that heals all diseases?
My concern now with this situation is that I want to believe certain things, that the will of God concerning that sister is that that sister be healed,
okay,
of that illness. I want to believe that.
Okay.
To that sister, is to have that sister needs to demonstrate an implicit trust in the spoken word of God. Take a word of God like, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Did that word limit it to any sickness?
No.
Did it limit it to any disease?
No.
Now, the worst disease on planet Earth now concerning this, let me look at cancer as the worst disease.
Mm.
Yet, God has healed so many of this disease called cancer. I've seen sisters, let me talk about women now, declared by doctors of breast cancer, yet, by the power of prayer, by the power in the name of Jesus that is above every other name, even the name of any sickness, they were healed. They went back to the same doctors, surrendered themselves for test, and they were declared free from the same disease. So, if God has done it for Sister A, can God do it for Sister B? He can, if that is his will for you. Let me give you an instance. An apostle, Paul, pleaded with God for a particular illness, and God says, no, my grace is sufficient for you. Which means at that particular point, it's not the will of God to heal him of that disease. He says, my grace is sufficient, for in your weakness, I made you strong. In this disease, you are stronger than people that don't have this disease. And this is the way I want you to go, for you to continue to worship me in truth and in spirit. That is when I say, if this is the will of God, there is nothing too hard for him to say, I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me to do? Reviving a man of above 90 years to be able to bear a child. Reviving a womb that is above 80 years to be able to conceive is an all-powerful God. People were healed of leprosy, which they will consider a terrible disease. People were healed with an issue of blood, which today may have become cancer. Somebody that has a flow of blood for years
and wasted all her resources,
suffered in the hand of doctors and chemicals in terms of treatment. Somebody that was born blind. So he is an all-powerful God. Everything that has been impossible with man, God says it is possible with him. That's why we call him the God of who makes impossibility possible. Things that are not possible with man, God makes it possible, including health, wisdom, knowledge, power. Every damn thing on planet Earth that has been impossible with man, God makes that thing possible. He consumes sacrifice by fire. Fire will come from nowhere and consume sacrifice from heaven. It has not been done. Every other thing the devil wants to do is to imitate an artificial way of doing things, like he demonstrated with Pharaoh and Moses. You know, some of the miracles Moses performed, he did the canter. But when the one that startled them, they say, this is the finger of God, surrendering to the Almighty God. And that finger of God has always been demonstrated continually. There has never been a time a sea divided into two for the people of God to move by dry land. It's possible. A pillar of cloud coming in the night to protect the children of God, while a pillar of light is in their front, leading their pathway, has not been done. A man praying and asking the sun to stand still, and the world lost a day, if I will use that language. These are impossibilities God made possible. And he is doing more every day in our lives. We will not attest to it, because we always eat the testimony of God. God has remained the God of all impossibilities. He makes impossibility possible in every area of life. No exemption.
Sometimes when we want to trust the God of impossibility, they are regarded as being reckless and careless. The reason is because in trusting God, you are believing that what has been scientifically proven to from experience that it doesn't happen is going to happen. In trusting God, you are saying that thousands of samples used for a study by Harvard is not going to apply in a particular case, maybe your own case, because you are believing God. A case in point is a young man who said, yes, I trust God. Yes, God can do anything with my life in Africa. I don't have to japa, like they say today. And they say maybe Harvard has done a study and said that a young man in Nigeria who maybe only stopped at a first degree cannot make any progress. Maybe that's a study like that. Say no, that God is God who brings down one person and lifts another. And if God lifts me, I'm lifted. So when a man says, no, I'm trusting God, they say he's reckless. Do you think trusting God, believing the God of impossibility, walking by faith in the God of impossibility is really being reckless?
No. Faith and recklessness do not go together. A man of faith can be regarded to the world as being reckless. Let's look, I like using this. I said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in Daniel chapter 3 verse 16, answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Mark their words. That is recklessness according to the word. When it gets to somebody proving that he has God, you may be regarded as stubborn. Why not save your life in today's world? Why shouldn't they want to live, marry, have children, build houses? They say, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning furnace, fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of your hand, O king. Verse 18. If not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Time is coming when people will be presented with the figures, the number 666, and they want to take the number 666 because of food and welfare of their loved ones. This is just a situation like that. Life and death presented before these people. Don't they love life?
They do.
Haven't they been enjoying in the palace of Nebuchadnezzar as members of the inner caucus with Daniel? Yet they said, no, far be it that we disobey God in this one thing. They are putting God to challenge. The Bible says, challenge me by my words and see if I'm not God. That is the type of faith that needs to prove, that we need to have to prove that this God we serve is a God of all impossibilities. When he says, challenge me by what I have spoken, the spoken word. You know one thing? You know, the word of God is God. God is asking you, challenge me by me and see if I am not God. If I have said I'm the God of all impossibilities, where is your impossibility? Give it to me. Let me master it for you. That is what God is saying. Give me your impossibilities. Let me master your impossibilities for you and make it possible and return it to you. That is the situation. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So people were saying, I know some Jews. Why these reckless boys want to die in this fire? How can God deliver them from this fire? That is recklessness for the world. But to them, it's faith. And God will come down to use the foolishness of our thought. Make that thing, his own foolishness, becomes wisdom. To the average man on earth, those boys were foolish, were reckless, stubborn, rebels to God. They are inviting me. God is saying, these boys has gone to the point of inviting me to act. And before the fire, the same Nebuchadnezzar said, okay, increase the heat of this fire. These guys have challenged me. They are so reckless with their words. And the same, you know, one thing that baffles me is that the people that were thrown into the fire were alive. Those that threw them in died. Were consumed by tongue of fire. Why the fire itself become merciful? That is the mercy of God. An environment where there is death, God made the environment possible by allowing people to walk in the furnace of fire without even a smell of smoke when they were invited out. You know why they were there? They would have walked out themselves and say, King, waiting be a wahala. They were enjoying praise. They were enjoying the presence of God. They don't want to come out. When a child of God meets a situation of impossibility, where God is making impossibility possible, you don't want to come out. Those that made that condition for you want to ask you to come. Nebuchadnezzar invited them out. Come, please. Come. Come out. Because I have seen the fourth man. So God appeared in the furnace of fire, making with man, fire consumes, but with God, fire preserves. You hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
With man, fire consumes, but with God, that day, fire became what? A preserver of life.
There's a point of confusion for many Christians when it comes to the God of impossibilities. When they compare someone like the experience of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and even Daniel in the lion's den, with some of the apostles who died by hanging, different, I think Stephen was stoned to death.
Yes.
So they wonder, like, if God saved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, why didn't he save these other people? Was God being partial? Didn't they go to God to... I mean, what happened?
Like, I will always put across, the God we serve is a God that does what he likes, fulfilling his plans and purpose for planet Earth. The purpose of preserving Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was for Nebuchadnezzar to declare to the whole world that only their God will be served. The same king that made an image to be worshipped, the same king that pronounced the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as the only true God. For Stephen, his plan and purpose has also been fulfilled. The death of Stephen brought about more of the spread of the gospel. Stephen fulfilled his mission. And today, an example of a man that prayed the same prayer like our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. He pointed the council during interrogation from creation to the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, pointing them to Christ. His mission on planet Earth, according to the will of God for his life, has been fulfilled. So, there is no room with human wisdom for us to be comparing or debating the activities of an all-knowing God. He's all-knowing. Wisdom, He's all-wise. In power, He's all-powerful.
Okay. For many people, they want to actually obey God. They want to reach out and invite the God of impossible into their situations. Except that a voice is screaming into their ear. A voice of doubt coming from a lot of knowledge about medical record, medical history and stories. A voice of statistics founded on non-Bible principles. Say, case in point is where maybe Harvard does a research with 100,000 entrepreneurs in Nigeria or Africa and say that once you do like this, it goes like this. Or medical record that says once it's like this, it goes like this. So these voices are screaming in their ears. So even though they want to reach out to walk on water, in quotes, those voices are telling them, you're going to sink, oh, you're going to sink. Oh. And they're wondering, how do we get over, because of that, of course, their faith is not strong on God. How do they get over this voice of negativity, voice of unbelief, screaming into their ears and denying them of enjoying the power of God of impossibilities?
And we take an example from the scriptures, what happened between our Lord Jesus Christ and Peter when he asked him to come out of the boat and walk on the surface of the sea. Immediately, Peter heard that voice. His faith remained intact. He walked, but by the time he looked left and right and noticed what he is doing, he began to sink and shouted. What am I saying? Once your focus is not on God, you have a problem. These distractions of voices of doubt is what same thing that happened to Peter. So long as we, the children of God, we look unto God, focused on God, and allow distractions from the voice of the enemy, we will prove the impossibility power of God. So these distractions, Peter suffered it. There are storms, there are waves. He looked at the sea. These things mean a lot. These are the things we suffer today. The wind is coming, the storm is coming, the noise of the air, you now notice. But when he stepped out, it was a step of faith. Remember, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. If your focus is on the master, distractions has no place in your life. Let me give you another instance. There is a young boy, Jesus, split on the ground, mixed it with the earth, and placed on his eyes, and asked him to go to the sea and walk. To go to Shiloh and wash his face, that he will see. Did it happen or did it not happen?
It happened.
That young man has faith. It's another impossibility made possible. With man, a man born blind, saw a mixture, did not just notice that a mixture of sand, even if it is water, but he may have had Jesus spit on the ground and mix it and place on his eyes. He has not started seeing. He still went to Shiloh, not seeing, washed his face. At the point of washing his face, washing away those mud, he began to see. There were distractions on the road. People may be laughing at him. You want to believe this man? Sand, soil, and spit placed on your eyes. So you are being stupid to go to the Shiloh to wash. Don't you know that the other day he asked a blind man to start seeing, and the man start seeing? Why must their own be different? So a lot of thoughts and ways of men must have come to that young man. But that very day, he proved them wrong. I know whom I have had. His strategies are different. His methods are different. I must go to Shiloh. I will obey till the end. And that obedience, that trust, that patience drove him. When he got to Shiloh, people may have been there. Why are you here today? Do we give you water to drink? Because apparently, people there may have been fetching water for him to drink and wash his feet, for him not to be drowned. But they had a different answer that day. I need to wash off my face. The master says, as soon as I wash my face, I will see. They laughed. And he washed his face and began to see them and be naming the color of their dresses. You see, so these things has no pattern. God is a God of impossibilities. He made everything possible that is impossible with man.
Okay. Just for clarity, it's actually Pool of Siloam. I think that's the name of the place he went to.
Okay,
wash.
Pool of Siloam.
That's where we bring this week's edition of World Journey to a wrap. Thank you very much, Venerable Ihan Ichukwu Obuna, for being our guest today.
Thank you, and God bless.
Venerable, one of the servants of God that believes as Christ elevated, lives are liberated, and he's committed to teaching the sound word of God across every platform that God gives him. And we're glad to have him join us on World Journey today. We'd like to hear from you. We want to hear your questions, we want to hear your suggestions for improvement, and any feedback you want to give us. If you want to send email, please send it to wg@ihanyobona.com. You can equally call, text, or WhatsApp 003-7620-939. Please know that this is the 31st episode of World Journey, and that means we have over 30 episodes available for your free download on Venerable Bona's website. That is www.ihanyobona.com. If that's too hard for you to type, just go on Google and type Venerable Bona and you'll find the same website. Please know that you can get Word Alive and Bedtime Rhema. These are daily devotional when you follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Our Word Journey. Or send it or get them as a broadcast when you send WG on WhatsApp to 003-7620-939. Until we bring you another exciting episode of Word Journey. May the power of God be fully expressed in your life and your family. My name is Ifeanyi Chukwu Dinwoke. Ever since the first episode of World Journey debuted on 25th December 2022, God has helped the team release a new episode every week. By the strength and wisdom that God provides, the World Journey team has expanded your options for accessing every episode. So in addition to downloading all episodes of World Journey on the website, ihanyiobona.com, you can equally stream all of them on your favorite podcast platforms such as Anchor FM, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Amazon Music, and Radio Republic. In fact, the team has made extra effort to bring you the Word of God daily through channels we call Word Alive in the morning and Bedtime Rhema in the evening. Our desire is that you have a daily infusion of the Word of God, even in the midst of your busy schedule. So if you want to get our weekly Word Journey, daily Word Alive, and Bedtime Rhema, please send WG to 0803-7620-939 on WhatsApp.